My guest at this time is Joe Ballinger. He is a scientific communicator and is behind the website Ask an Entomologist, which you can find at askentomologist.com. He has a Master's of Science in Entomology from the University of Georgia and also uses that expertise through his paying job. Joe is here to tell us today about the mosquitoes behind the Zika virus, how they became such a threat, and what can be done about them. And Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
No problem. I guess the first thing to point out is that mosquitoes in the U.S. are very much a seasonal thing. So right now it's winter, and transmission is impossible in most of the U.S. because the mosquitoes aren't out. The two really important mosquitoes for this are the yellow fever mosquito, which is restricted to the southern east portion of the U.S. It ranges up northward to South Carolina and west to southeast Texas, and then there's some populations in south-central Arizona and some in California. The other one that's important is the Asian tiger mosquito. The Asian tiger mosquito is a bad vector of the disease. It doesn't vector any sort of disease all that well, and large-scale viral outbreaks are really only seen in areas with yellow fever mosquito populations, and this one goes upwards north to Des Moines, Iowa, and west to Oklahoma. The one that's not good at vectoring any sort of disease ranges further than the one that is good at vectoring the disease, which I think is kind of important.
One of those, from what we've researched, suggests that it was genetically modified down in South America, specifically to combat dengue fever, and ended up becoming a proliferator of Zika. Explain that background a little bit.
The genetically modified approach is one that is really looking to control the mosquitoes without using broad-spectrum pesticides, because those have health effects as well. There was an experiment releasing mosquitoes in Brazil 2 or 3 years ago, but those releases stopped well before this epidemic. So the notion that the mosquitoes are genetically modified in order to carry this virus, that's not true. A lot of these experiments are looking to lower the number of mosquitoes in those sorts of areas. That's the objective of that approach.
Joe, what's the best way to stop it then? Is it just somehow reducing the population without pesticides? And if so, what's the best way to do that?
There's actually a lot that can be done at the moment. Here in the U.S., there's a lot of every city has a mosquito control department that the job of these agencies is to monitor mosquito populations and treat problem areas to keep mosquito numbers too low to transmit disease. A lot of the practical steps that homeowners can take are, you know, keep mosquitoes outside by repairing window screens and using air conditioning. Mosquitoes like it warm, so they don't like to go into cold houses. You know, wear long sleeves and pants during summer and avoid dark colors. Wear insect repellent, specifically DEET, Picaridin, or something called IR3535, which is found in Avon Skin So Soft Lotion. And use reasonable amounts, you know, specified by the container's label. You don't need to bathe in the stuff. In your yard, dump out any sort of standing water sources like bird baths or flower pots, because those are where mosquitoes like to breed in most sort of urban or suburban areas. And if you have something like a pond in your yard that you don't want to drain, you can actually buy BT briquettes online, and they're pretty cheap. You know, you shouldn't be spending more than $20 on the stuff. And it's the same stuff used on organic farms. It just works on mosquitoes and not caterpillars.
We're talking with Joe Ballinger. He's with Ask an Entomologist, which you can find at askentomologist.com. Joe, a couple more questions before we let you go. First of all, you mentioned that in the United States, the mosquitoes we're most concerned about are largely concentrated in the warmer months in the southeastern part of the country. So is that the part of the country that should be most concerned?
Be on the lookout, but there's no reason to panic. There's a lot of differences between the U.S. and Brazil in terms of how mosquitoes encounter people and where they bite. There's a lot more pressure in Brazil in terms of mosquito populations than there are in the U.S. for a lot of reasons.
And obviously, we've mentioned yellow fever, we've mentioned dengue fever, now we're talking about Zika. Mosquitoes carry diseases, and they have for a long time, and other insects do as well. The World Health Organization has already raised this up to a health emergency. How long generally does it take to kind of ratchet these things down, especially when we haven't even perhaps seen the peak of this yet?
With dengue and yellow fever, they tend not to stick around too long in the U.S. Transmission hasn't happened in the U.S., at least in the lower 48, for a very long time now.
What lingering questions are out there for you and others who are following this so closely from a scientific perspective?
One of the big questions, I think, is exactly what this disease does to people. There's not a lot of data on what happens after the virus enters the body. It's known that it infects brains of rats, but other than that, that's really all that's known about it. There are pretty strong correlations between babies born with underdeveloped brains and a temporary paralysis called Guillain-Barré syndrome, but a correlation isn't causation. For example, correlate the number of Nicolas Cage movies released in a year to the number of helicopter crashes, and the connection between Zika virus and these conditions is very reasonable. It makes sense given what little we know about the virus and the correlations in time or space. But correlation is something that really, really needs the correlation is something. Even though it seems very likely, it's something that needs to be investigated further.
Joe, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your insight today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Take care.
Joe Ballinger is an entomology expert, has a Master's of Science in Entomology from the University of Georgia. He is a science communicator and is part of the website Ask an Entomologist, which you can find at askentomologists, plural, .com. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.